In their world, they're as mundane as gulls, as mosquitoes, as sable palms. Yet as a Southwest Florida surface dweller, I was all but oblivious to mullet. Sure, I'd seen schools of them flash by a time or two on the Estero River, watched them leap, then slap back down into the quiet bay or backwater from which they'd burst moments before. Yet I'd never really studied one until it lay, gasping weakly, in my husband's hands. Roger, the boys, and I had nosed our way deep into the labyrinth of mangroves that fringe Pine Island. We'd glided through a low arch of slender limbs, our paddles barely stirring the water. Sunlight flickered and flashed through dark leaf lace, landing on the oar-stirred surface like a handful of tossed coins. Ducking under leg and wing-flecked webs, dodging mounded oyster crusts and scraping past taut tangles of prop roots, we emerged, blinking, into a watery clearing, a tree-ringed ballroom under the cathedral dome of sky. We paddled the canoe into the center of the lagoon, watching the mirrored sky shimmer up the mangroves like low flames. The water looked no more than calf deep, and for some reason that I can no longer recall, just for the hell of it likely as not, we decided to climb out of the canoe and wade. One at a time, we scrambled up and out, landing with flailing splashes and then sinking into the mud, and sinking and sinking. The water may have been no more than a foot deep, but the mud was way deeper. Mud actually might not be the most accurate term. The color of diner chicken gravy. Texturally, it was like milkshake over applesauce over flan over graham cracker crust, with a smell that included notes of wood smoke, fresh oyster, and deviled eggs. Even once your feet had reached bottom, the thick ooze, at once solid and liquid, had a specific gravity that seemed more appropriate for Jupiter than Earth, making movement comically cartoonish. We pulled the canoe behind us on its yellow nylon leash, our progress so slow that the boat kept nudging us in the backs like an eager-to-go pup. What was taking us so long? Why were we so slow? Slow indeed. All it had to do was slip over the surface, burdened with no more than a cooler and some Ziploc dry clothes, while we had to trudge through quicksand. Not that it wasn't immense fun, it was just very labor-intensive. We had to pause, panting every few labored steps, and I think it was then, during one of those gasping respites, that Roger spotted the mullet. Resting on its side on the bottom, its gills fluttering gently, I don't recall the fish offering any resistance, not even a feeble flop, as Roger closed his hand around it and lifted it to the surface. He held the mullet for us to examine, a sleek creature shaped like a long bullet with big black pony eyes and butterfly wing gills. It seemed heavy for its size, tightly muscled. We'd all run fingers over its slime-slick sides, its pearled brass scales, before we saw the hole right below one of the silver dollar gills, a tiny pink puncture the size of a pinpoint, or of an osprey talon. The bird must have swooped, seized the mullet, then lost its grip, or maybe the fish thrashed from its claws to escape, then spent, it settled to the muck. However the fight had gone, the fish had lost, and we watched as the slow trembling of gills stopped entirely. No sense in wasting a good piece of bait, we thought, flipping open the cooler and nestling it on a mound of ice where it lay in state among the cheese sticks and juice boxes. Then we closed the lid, hauled ourselves back into the boat, and paddled back into open water.